Well, 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 you lot, welcome back. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a lot better this week. If you did have to watch last week's episode, I apologise. But it is Sunday, we've just watched the race, and yes, we have too much to talk about. So basically, what you're going to do right now is go into the description, follow us on social media. It's going to be Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and if you want, you can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and that way you don't have to look at us. But even if you don't, go on there, rate us 5 stars. If you do enjoy the podcast here, please like, comment, subscribe, get involved. We're going to crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along. You forgot TikTok, may I just add?
Oh, I wonder why I forgot about that. Bellends.
Welcome along. It is Sunday evening and we have literally just watched the Silverstone Grand Prix. And may I just say, the best race of the year.
100%. And I hope, the thing is, right, I hope by Wednesday people are still as gassed about it. Otherwise, I mean, this is going to be a weird watch for people. We're like dead excited right now because, I mean, that got me going. Well, I think we actually spoke last week. We were like, you know, we're missing that sort of intensity and we hadn't really had the same emotions as last year. And we were saying how Silverstone was actually a huge turning point last year. And then come this year, wow.
It didn't disappoint. No. You had everything in there. You had crashes. You had aggression. You had frustration. You had reliability issues. You had everything in this race.
Teammates getting at each other. Yeah. Albeit passive-aggressively, but I quite like that as well.
I thought it was phenomenal. So, before we get started, Luke, how have you been? As you did say earlier, you do look a bit better than last week.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling... I mean, all you need is, you know, I hadn't slept properly for like 7 days. So... And I'm pretty sure I was probably ill, I was hungover, I was sunburnt. You know, I just needed a bit of time to recover. So I've done that this week and I feel good. Still a bit like, I don't know if you heard that, but I was sniveling. But I feel 100%.
Good. Right, so Silverstone. Let's start off with, let's skip practice because I think there's loads to talk about in this and let's go straight to qualifying.
Yeah, well, I mean, just... quickly, who looked good in practice? Max?
Max, I mean, yeah.
And I know we'll get to the race, but he looked flawless all weekend.
Hamilton looked good.
Those Mercedes looked good. The Ferraris were pretty consistent.
It was always tough because it was a bit of a wet practice. Yeah, it was wet qualifying.
Lando, he looked good.
He looked good. There's a lot of teams. It was one of those, wasn't it, that the people who you expected to be quite good were good. But then actually you were seeing people who you were hoping would be good starting to come into it. The likes of Lewis, you know, something which we haven't really seen. Yes, okay, he had a great race in Canada, but in practice and that, you haven't really seen him so well this year.
Yeah, he showed up. And then, like you say, there was even Lando was in the mix. I mean, he threw in, I can't remember what it was, FP2 or FP3. Might have even been FP1. Who knows? But where he threw in a quality lap, didn't he? He got like... P3 in one of them, like came out like he had the third quickest lap.
But there's one person who, I mean, I have to say, fair play, Valtteri Bottas. He was P1 in FP1.
Yeah, but had he not come out at sort of like the driest part?
He did. Yeah, he did. However, look, Valtteri Bottas was there. He was there, so give him his due. Carlos Sainz again, FP1. Mick Schumacher was up there, and Haas as well. Joe had a reasonably good weekend up until the race. But looking at FP2, again, Lewis Hamilton, P2 again in that. Carlos Sainz was P1. Norris was third. And I mean, you're looking at this, and you're heading into FP3, and then you started to see the Red Bulls come into it.
Yeah.
You started to see Max. You started to see Sergio. But again, fair play to Charles. He was still there in P3.
He pulled through. I mean, he put in a stonker of a lap as like his last lap, wasn't it?
And I just thought all weekend it was interesting. The pendulum was swinging, wasn't it? Either way, it was either Max or was it Sainz?
I think,
you know...
That was the thing, like, coming into today's race...
It's contagious.
Yeah, it is. Coming into today's race, because it had been so uncertain throughout the whole weekend... And I know that was partly due to weather.
Yeah.
It was almost like, I've got no idea what's going to happen here, really. I don't think we had properly gauged the pace of anyone. other than the fact that I think we all sort of understood that Red Bull looked quickest and Max looked pretty terrifying.
Max was just Max, wasn't he?
Yeah. I was speaking to my cousin yesterday and he was like, how does he put in these lap times? Like, surely he's cheating. And he is so quick. It looks like he's cheating, yeah. Which he's not. And I'm not making accusations. It's a compliment. That's how good he looks in that car.
What I found funny was, you know, so for you guys who don't know, we're down in like the South Coast and it was actually quite hot here yesterday.
Oh, we've had a belter of a weekend.
And then watching qualifying practice, it was like pouring down in Silverstone. And I was like, what the hell?
How has that happened?
Yeah. Just quickly, let us know where you watched the race. I'm always quite interested with this. What, you know, in a different country. We've had people from Argentina watch us recently, you know. Fair play. Let us know. Comment down below and let us know where you were watching the race. But no, qualifying is a wet one. Can we just say, and we've given this guy a lot of stick on the show. A lot of stick.
My goat.
You're such...
I've always loved him. Believed in him.
Don't be so two-faced.
I have. What it was, right, is it was tough love.
It was. And if it wasn't for us, he wouldn't have got into Q3.
So
facts.
You Williams boys out there can thank us for pushing Latifi to qualifying in P10.
Can you imagine, right, if he had came out after in his press conference and gone, so I've been reflecting recently and the guys from Racecast have been really, you know, harsh on me and it's really pushed me to be better.
Yeah, there's only two people to thank for this result. Those two idiots. Nice.
I'd have loved it. Latifi, fair play. Q3.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I imagine so many people are probably watching that like, oh yeah, well, you know, it's because it was wet and he put in a lap time at the right time. Mate, racing is all about using everything that goes on to your advantage.
You look at George last year in Spa.
Yeah, no one...
P2.
No one complained about that.
No, everyone loved that, didn't they?
And I think, to be honest, the gist I've got from social media is everyone is actually really happy for him.
Yeah.
I know he didn't get points in the race, and we'll get onto that, but qualifying in... It was his first time ever into Q3. That for him, I think, is as close as he'll ever get to a win.
Oh.
And that's, you know, so he should take this weekend and go on a big one tonight, is what I'm saying.
It was a solid weekend for him. And, you know, I am happy. I know we give him stick, but that's, as we said before, it's not from a personal level. It's from a point of view that actually he's been so useless.
And at the end of the day, we're here to create content.
Yeah.
You know, if we were just here just like, oh, poor guy, I hope he does better. Anyway, next. You wouldn't watch it.
Qualifying. Max looked good. Q1, Q2. I would have actually put money on he was going to get pole.
Well, yeah. I think he would have been an idiot not to.
No. I mean, he was so... I did not... I was more shocked that he did not get a pole yesterday.
What I will say is, whether it's a mistake or not, I'm going to call it a mistake. He was prone to the odd mistake this weekend.
Yeah.
He had a... Few, I don't want to say few because it may even be less than that. But all I'm saying is for Max, it's not normal to see. You don't see him make mistakes, but really anymore. He did have a few where, and I know it was gusty around the track.
Yeah.
He sort of ran off a few times, locked up the odd time. And then qualifying, yeah, he was so slick. Jesus, yeah, that looked cool. He made it look like he did it on purpose. Yeah.
He didn't actually lose that much time from it.
1.8 seconds he was down on the lap. And he did a full 360.
That man's a... That's not normal.
That's impressive.
So Q1...
I hate him.
Q1 was pretty awful for Haas and Aston Martin. Both went out in Q1.
Yeah, Jesus. What happened there?
I don't know. It seems to be a consistent thing with Aston Martin going out in Q1, Haas now going out in Q1. They just don't have it over one lap, by the looks of it.
Where was it? It was Canada. That was the last race.
Yeah.
They looked pretty decent.
They did. Yeah, they did. Q2, the biggest surprise for me here was Ocon. I thought, I was expecting them to probably get into Q3,
Am I right in thinking this was Ocon's lowest qualifying position this season?
Hasn't he started at the back once this year? He might have taken penalties, but I can't remember. Yeah, he potentially could be right.
Yeah,
be
maybe. Right,
without
maybe.
Looking, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere.
Valtteri Bottas went out in Q2 as well.
That
I mean,
is the second week running that he's been outqualified by his teammate.
Yeah, sure. Very, very nicely placed in ninth position. Latifi in 10th. And, you know, you're looking down and you've got Lewis Hamilton in 5th. I was a bit disappointed in that because I thought he could have probably got about 4th.
I was disappointed.
Yeah.
I was expecting maybe even 3rd or 2nd. Not going to lie.
They just don't have that pace over one lap that the Red Bulls and Ferraris have.
It's strange because they spend years having the straight line speed advantage.
Yeah.
And now they really lack it.
Yeah.
I think this weekend the Mercedes looked really good in the high speed corners.
Yeah.
But yeah, that straight line speed it's just not there at the moment. And whether that's something they can unlock, I don't know, because isn't there a freeze on engines? I'm sure there's something they can do aero-wise to increase top speed, but I do worry a little bit about the capabilities of that engine.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Carlos Sainz, fair play to you. First career pole position for him.
Yeah, nice.
I was actually delighted. I mean, at the beginning of this season, I said I was expecting a big season for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been inconsistent throughout the season. I mean, he did well in Canada. He really challenged Max in P2 there.
And he's been under a lot of pressure.
He has.
You know, he's been number two to Charles.
I think the biggest mistake was giving him that contract extension so early in the season.
It was very premature for a guy that hadn't even really... He hadn't lit up this season at all. No. And last season, you know, I know he beat Charles on points, but again, it was still just because I think he was just a bit more consistent last season.
Yeah, definitely.
I did find it strange, but I can also understand it because he's a very good driver.
And he showed that yesterday. The thing I loved about it the most is he was shocked he got it. He was like, oh, that was awful lap. You got pole position.
Yeah, well, wasn't it? I mean, it was because Max just put in a worse lap.
True.
Yeah. He had a mistake, didn't he?
He did, but I that's the thing I like about Carlos Sainz. He's really quite down to earth.
Yeah.
And even though afterwards, you know, it wasn't... It's just his emotion after was just really nice to see.
Yeah, you could see how much it meant to him.
Yeah, and I was really happy for
and
him.
And it is always nice when you see that with a driver. That's why, I mean, I love seeing new drivers in pole position or new drivers winning a race.
Yeah.
Because you see how much it means to them.
It's nice,
and,
isn't it?
And it is nice to have the odd change.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I was delighted for him. Shall we talk about the race?
Yeah, go on.
So, I mean, heading into this, I was quite excited. I said to you...
Quite excited?
I was very excited.
Yeah.
I sent you a message, didn't I, saying this is how it's going to be. Max is going to get Carlos on the first lap and Latifi won't get points. For you guys who don't know and you're first-time listeners to us, I made a bet at the beginning of the season that if Latifi got points, I would get a tattoo, which Luke would have to pay for.
So stick around, because this still might happen.
It may, I mean, he was promising this weekend, and there was part of me, and I text you this, and I was shitting myself a bit.
Yep.
But we also agreed beforehand that actually, if Latifi finished last, DNFs didn't count, last.
As in, beforehand, prior to this race, and only this race.
Oh, so you're not confident enough now?
I'm not going to bet that he's not going to finish last next week, because he probably will. But after qualifying P10, I was like, oh, bet you're shitting yourself, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
And he was like, yes. I'm pretty sure it was something.
I was.
But then you were like, he'll still finish last. And I was like, if he finishes last, I'll get a tattoo.
I was hopeful that you were going to get a tattoo. But let's start off by the start. Exactly what I predicted. Max took signs quite comfortably, yeah, to be honest.
I mean, the thing is, the Red Bull is... That car's a joke.
It's a different
B, class. Max is a joke.
Yeah. Not in like an awful way. He's a joke.
Yeah, like he's so good. It's almost just like, you know, it's like, it is like, I think he is, he's that standout driver. Like, and maybe it will change if Hamilton gets a competitive car.
Yeah.
But like Hamilton, in that competitive Mercedes,
yeah,
he's the standout driver.
Yeah, no, okay.
And C, he was, you know, starting P2 can sometimes be better. You're normally on, you're always on the better line.
Yeah. So Max got a good start, took signs. Hamilton got a good start, went into P3.
Man, that start. Who else got a cracking start?
Nicholas Latifi.
Big Nick.
He went from P10 to P7? P8. No.
He went P10 to P8. He took, because he dived. He dived in between the gap. The gap that was
Russell
there
and Zhou.
Between Russell and Zhou. And then, because they got a horrendous start. I mean, Russell was on the hards, to be
and
fair.
And he came out afterwards and he said, look, going on those hards, you just couldn't get a temperature in those.
Yeah.
And it was an awful start for him. Gasly.
This is an awkward situation.
And I was a bit surprised he didn't get some sort of penalty. Because for you guys who haven't seen it, so basically Gasly tried to get in between Russell and Zhou, which, granted, if the space was there, he probably could have got in towards the end of turn one, into turn one. But the issue was there was no, because the gap was closing.
That's the thing. The thing is, I think he got caught between a rock and a hard place, really, because I think as he started going, it did kind of look like there was a gap there. But what I think he should have done is thought, this is going to get closed off the second I'm there.
Yeah.
They're like, it's going to get closed off because it was already very tight. And then I think as he was going in, it got closed off and he hit the brakes. But by then it was too late.
He hit the left rear of George Russell, which then made him turn into Zhou, which then just made him, Zhou's car just flipped.
That
it was phenomenal.
That crash was insane. And if you were watching it live as well, all you really saw was they were coming around turn two,
yeah,
the front runners, and then just out of nowhere, just this car skidding upside down along the track.
I was like, because I messaged you going, all I saw was, I had to rewind it because, as you said, all you saw was Zhou's car just literally on its top, just sliding across the gravel.
Mate, I had no idea who it was. I texted my cousin just like, who the fuck was that?
It was bizarre.
Like, because there were so many cars out as well. I think for a while, the commentators didn't even know because the car disappeared.
It just went, didn't it?
Like, it went in between the two barriers.
Well, I messaged you, didn't I, saying, you know, Tom Cruise was there. That was literally something like
out of Mission Impossible.
Out of Mission Impossible. Yeah. The way that car flipped in the air, then slid, and then went over the barriers and literally went into the fencing.
I don't even think that's a stunt Tom Cruise would want to do.
No, it was outrageous.
That looked nasty. And it was touch and go for a while. You know, we had not seen the impact of the crash. All we saw is someone skidding upside down.
It took ages.
They weren't showing anything. Like, because they didn't know if he was okay. I'm not sure if they could communicate with him.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? So there's multiple points here, which is a real positive in some sense, because not only Zhou was okay, I had a massive shout out to the Halo again. That Halo is saving lives.
Yeah.
And it seems to be every few weeks
now. Because we also had one in F2. Earlier on today,
yeah,
it saved a life. A car came over the sausage curb. Can't remember who it was. Apologies.
Yeah, went right over, didn't it?
Went
yeah,
up, I saw that, mate. Yeah. It would have decapitated the guy.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for the Halo, he'd be headless, Nick.
But
mate.
You know, the biggest shout outs, you know, standouts are Grosjean in Bahrain.
Yeah,
was it Bahrain that time? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, although what I did find, like, not funny. That's not the word. I don't mean it in like a haha way. But like, what I did find funny was, they were more than happy to show like Grosjean go up in flames and play it on repeat, but
they wouldn't show.
We didn't see anything of this crash, and which I get. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just found the irony there, amusing.
But they showed it on so many repeats that time when Grosjean went.
It was just going.
And you didn't even know. I mean,
you saw like every car. You saw every camera angle as well, and I was like, oh Jesus, like. We witnessed everything last time. And now I don't even know where Joe is.
You didn't even know what happened. No. That was the confusing thing. It took a while to work out what actually happened. But, you know...
What do we reckon? Worst crash this season?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. The way that car flipped, it kind of like flipped off the gravel into the... over the barriers, into the fencing, which is... it was just weird. It was just weird to watch. And I mean, again, massive shout out to the Halo because that's saving lives and it's phenomenal. Also, another shout out to George Russell.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, actual Superman.
The way he jumped out of that car, because you saw the onboard camera, that was basically the closest you saw George, and you knew it was bad when George literally was just chucking things out of his car and running. So again,
surely he must have run over there and just thought, I can't do anything here. I'm going to turn back.
But you know, but then later on, you saw footage of him, you know, waving people in quickly, you know, getting people to hurry up. And fair play to him. You didn't have to. You must, when you're going through that. Even though, you know, they showed his interview as well while we're waiting to actually find out what actually happened, but you could just tell in his face he was so shocked what happened and he was so devastated by what happened. He was thankful, but he was just so, it shows you, doesn't it? A moment of madness can actually be...
Yeah, well, it's a split second. That race was, you know, we were going off nicely. Yeah. All of a sudden, someone's upside down in between two barriers and we don't know if they're alive.
No, and that's the thing. So basically, what happened then, Russell, Joel and Albon had a collision as well.
I'm not going to lie, Albon's looked really nasty. Yeah. The amount of bumps he took along the way.
Because he was just like pinball, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Pinball? That's not the word, is it?
Pinball.
Pinball.
What did you call it?
Pinball.
Oh, no, not pinball. 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 Yeah, no, yeah, and all those like shunts. Yeah, that must have been a nasty, nasty like feeling.
So what we know, well, sitting here now, is Joel is all fine. Mm-hmm. He went to the medical center. He's all fine. However, Albon is actually still being closely monitored.
He's in hospital, isn't he? He got helicoptered to hospital.
They say he's okay, but he just needs to be closely monitored. So hopefully he's all good. Ocon and Tsunoda got damage as well. But obviously, what it meant from that is it was red flagged. All cars came in.
A lot of cars had damage, I think, to be honest.
Luckily for the red flag. What was your thought on George Russell? Because he was really annoyed after, in the sense of that, you know, he was saying, and you overheard him say, I got out to go and check he's okay, and I told stewards to leave my car alone. But because the stewards touched his car, he was out of the race. But from what I've heard, it was never going to start anyway, so he was going to be out of the race anyway.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it, right? Because definitely you've come on here and said rules are rules in regards to the budget cap.
Yeah.
So the rule is, if they, you know, if the car has been recovered, then you can't like participate in the race.
No.
But I understand this is, it's one of those cases where it's special circumstances. I think the FIA had a funny one this weekend, and I appreciate it's really difficult to make decisions in such a high pressure environment.
Yeah.
You know, they've just dealt with this huge crash. I'm sure at the time they don't know if people are okay. They just want everyone to be safe.
But
I think, you know, at the time, George essentially valued a human life over the quote unquote rules of the race, knowing maybe that he wouldn't be able to. So I think it would have been nice to see them allow him to attempt to race again, whether or not that car could have been fixed. Yeah. Due to like special circumstances. I personally don't think they would have got that car going again.
No, Toto said at the end they don't think he would have got that start again.
But then the really weird one for me was reverting the grid back to the original starting grid after the red flag.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I know apparently there's some rule they have to be past the second safety car line. Like, all the cars have to be... But, I don't know, that, you know, there's so much to be lost and gained when the lights go out.
Yeah.
And all those drivers that actually did really gain, even gaining from the crash, you know, it's part of the race.
Yeah.
Or part of racing, should I say, where cars, there's collisions, and, you know, there might be a collision in 5 and 6, and 7 and 8 may really suffer from that, but 10 and 11 are able to shoot through, and all of a sudden they've gained like 5 or 6 places. Yeah. Now that, to me, is part of racing.
It just didn't make any sense to me.
And now all of a sudden you lose any advantage that you've gained. Like Max jumping up to first, Lewis jumping up to third.
Latifi jumping up.
Latifi jumped up two spaces. The Aston Martins benefited hugely from it.
Oh.
So I was a bit disappointed with that. And maybe I have my like Hamilton tinted glasses on. I'm not sure. But I mean it must go for, you know.
Oh, no,
like you say, Verstappen and Latifi and the Aston Martins. And
I felt really sorry for Verstappen because he had a really good start. A really good start. And he took
Sainz like he wasn't even there, really.
Yeah. I mean, what didn't make sense to me was actually you've started a race. I get it from, you know, the FIA's point of view that, you know, this is what they have to do to actually, they haven't all gone past, they have to follow rules. Get it, understand that. But if you've gone past, if you've done those overtakes before that crash has happened...
Yeah, surely it doesn't matter where you are. Like, you've overtaken.
Yeah, and I mean, I was just a bit like...
I think this is the thing.
By it.
This is the only issue. It does feel like week after week, we learn about some obscure rule that doesn't really make any sense to anyone.
No.
And I think us as fans... like a lot of the time left in the dark about the rules, and then like all of a sudden like one pops up out of nowhere and everyone seems to be like collectively what's the point?
Yeah,
because what is the point? The thing is, I think rules are great when they benefit the sport and they help with safety. I don't really see either of those boxes being checked with that rule.
No,
personally. And I know that if you're watching and you're a fan of Ferrari, you're probably quite glad that it happened. And I understand that sometimes bad rules go in your favour, and that's cool, we love them. But generally, looking at it from like a perspective of the sport, what is the point in that rule?
I just think now, after Abu Dhabi last year, the FIA is so conscious about the decisions they make and the, you know, the following the rules to perfection.
Yeah,
because, and I get it, I do understand, because there was such a backlash last year after what happened between Lewis and Max in Abu Dhabi that actually now the FIA have that pressure on themselves. And you've got to think, you know, if they make bad decisions, are they going to be exactly like what happened to Michael Massey? He'll go out.
Yeah,
you know? So I get it from there, they are under pressure, but I think there's certain rules, like last year in Abu Dhabi, that was complete, do you know what, that was so against the rules and so badly managed. Well, not against the rule, but, you know, badly managed.
No, I mean, it was against the rule. Like, it wasn't the rule.
No, but it was so badly managed that actually I don't think anyone would have been annoyed if they had just let the grid stay how it was today. Do you know what I mean? If Max was still first, you know.
None of us, absolutely none of us.
It didn't even cross my mind.
I don't know, let us know if you knew that rule was a thing.
If you did, you know.
Yeah, like fair enough. And I'm sure you probably, if you do know, you only know because maybe it's happened before.
Yeah.
I can't really remember.
I can't remember seeing something like that.
But yeah, to me, I just thought it was weird and sort of, I don't know, I mean, it was a great race, but it deaded the vibe a little bit in that moment.
In that moment, yeah. So, again, the restart. Great start from Sainz. Started to see Carlos Sainz, Leclerc get their elbows out this weekend, have a bit of battle, have a bit of aggression, and it's exactly what we've been asking for.
Weird though.
Carlos Sainz even pushed Max pretty much onto the grass.
Yeah,
I was just like, whoa, here we go. Who's this guy?
Yeah, no, he showed that he was willing to do anything to stay in front, and I like that. I think what I did find a bit strange was the Ferrari tactics as we got a bit further down the road.
Yeah, what do you mean with their decisions about, you know, who they should have let pass? Should Leclerc have gone past Sainz? Team management, team, you know.
Well, it's just Lewis was on a mission. So I assume, you know, let's go back a little bit and talk about Max's issues, and then I think we can go forward.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, you know, even from that first lap, Lando, fair play to him. He had a great battle with Hamilton. Great battle. Yeah. He took him on that lap, held off Hamilton well. Nice little battle.
Showed some pace in that McLaren.
Yeah, no, it's good. The thing that got me, right, so we know Perez got damage to his front wing. He had to come in and pit. He went back to like, what, 17th?
Mentally slow with that damage.
Yeah. So they brought him in for a new front wing, new tyres. I thought that was race over for him, to be fair. However, we'll talk about Perez in a bit. The bit that made me laugh is Carlos Sainz on lap 9. I don't know if you remember hearing this on the radio, comes out and goes, Max is much quicker than me. Basically saying, look, I can't really do anything here. I'm going to let him pass. You know, I was just like, you don't have to, you know, it's all right saying that, isn't it? But it's kind of like,
yeah,
you're letting people know that he's coming.
And then he runs off the track.
And then, yeah, Sainz. I mean, I was thinking at this point in time, this is what we expect of Sainz. He can't handle the pressure.
It is pressure. It's pressure. And that is it. You know, very rarely do you see someone like Max do something. I mean, I actually can't remember the last time I saw Max make an error that led him losing a spot. But then we got very fortunate.
Before you continue, this is a little quiz for you. Do you know what Crofty said about that Sainz incident? Do you know what his comment was?
No.
Must have been a gust of wind.
Oh, yeah, actually. I do remember that now you said
that. What a legend. It made me laugh. So I'm assuming you're going to want to talk about lap 12.
Well, I got excited. I was like, hang on, because this was before they even like spoke about it. I was like, Max has just lost like 3 tenths, 4, 5, 6 tenths. What the fuck?
Yeah, he's proper slow, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then, you know, all of a sudden they like switch to it and he's getting overtaken. Not going to lie, I was kind of hoping it was going to be terminal. It wasn't.
Well, for the first time, I wasn't, because I knew that actually if another car went out, then the TV would have been closer to the point. So I was actually quite happy. But no, initially everyone thought it was a puncture. What we didn't realise when he came in, though, it was actually underbody work damage. Well, floor
had
damage.
Had he gone over like a bit of carbon fibre or something?
Yeah, he went over. I mean, they don't quite know what happened, but his floor was proper damaged, what you're saying.
What I will say is, doesn't this go to show just how intricate F1 cars are? You know, imagine you're driving your car and there's a bit of damage to the underside. Granted, it's not hit anything critical like a fuel line or... I doubt there's fuel lines at the bottom of the car anyway, but you know what I mean? I don't know anything about cars, but the point is you wouldn't notice it. You wouldn't be driving along like, oh, like fucking hell, there's a dent there or something.
No.
But like the intricacies of the aerodynamics where like him running over something can slow him down so much. And I'm sure there was like a fair amount of damage, but like we say, it wasn't critical. Like he hadn't hit the engine or something, or it's not like he couldn't brake properly or steer.
Well, critical is the word that was used, wasn't it? When Red Bull said to him, it's not critical.
Yeah.
Max, I'm going to say, moaned a lot today. I don't mean it in a negative way, but he was very...
He did. He was frustrated.
He was very vocal in his frustration with the team and the fact that he couldn't get anything, you know, out of the car.
I mean, it wasn't the team's fault and it wasn't his fault either. Right. He just run over something. He does like to cry a little bit. I can understand the frustration. That was his race. It was.
I'm just going to say a big shout out to the British crowd, because when they saw Verstappen slowing down, it was a massive celebration from the British crowd, and I liked it. However, I did post something on Instagram about Verstappen. Did you see the post, the little box? You know, the... what Max was saying to the engineers.
No.
Well, I posted that on Instagram and I may have upset a couple of Red Bull fans in the sense of him saying, oh, well, I didn't really think you would bring your opinions to the podcast, you know, or you're entitled to your opinions, are you? Because I put a smiling face because I was quite happy that Verstappen was out.
Yeah, we absolutely are entitled to our opinions. And I'm not going to lie, you know, for two people that had to endure last season as Mercedes fans...
Yeah.
We give Max Verstappen a shit ton of credit on this podcast. You know, we're not two individuals that are going to sit here and deny that he has any talent, because I think
he's a phenomenal driver.
Yeah, I think he is as good as Lewis in this current stage, and it's really hard to compare them this season. But last season, they were both as good as each other. He took it to a 7-time world champion. So, yeah. We are going to bring our opinions to this because we can do whatever the fuck we like.
It's our podcast.
So Max goes out.
And in the meantime, Hamilton is smashing out purple sectors.
Yeah.
He was looking quick. Ferrari were having their little battle up front. Can Leclerc get past? Is he allowed to go past? No. Is Sainz holding him up? No, yes. Like we're a bit... I was thinking to myself, look, if Leclerc is fastest, let him go.
This is the point I was making when we were sort of digressing earlier. What was that tactical call by Ferrari? Let them race. And I know they kept saying, you know, oh, if you can do 1:33.2s or whatever time it was, you know, you can stay ahead. Mate. Charles was clearly so much quicker. And, you know, it's always going to be difficult to overtake someone that's in the same car as you that is not necessarily... I don't think Charles was light years quicker, but he was obviously quicker.
Yeah.
So it was like, just let him through, because you know that those two are going to race. Sainz isn't going to yield the position. Why would he? Would you? I wouldn't.
No.
So,
especially when you're going for your first Grand Prix win.
And you know how much it slows like cars down when they are racing each other.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Hamilton is like, he's there. Yeah. He's there. He's in the mix.
Talking of Hamilton, so both Ferraris pitted. They came out, they're battling again.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they even, bear in mind, Hamilton was closing in on Leclerc because they brought Sainz in before.
And then Leclerc.
And then Hamilton just got it into DRS range.
Yeah.
And then they brought Leclerc in, which was, to be fair, pretty smart, I think.
But when the Ferraris came out, they both came out on hards. So it was 19 seconds for a pit stop, roughly, the average.
Yeah.
What didn't make much sense to me was Hamilton at one point was like 19 and a half seconds clear. It then started to diminish.
That was of Leclerc, though, wasn't it? He was never 19 and a half clear as Sainz.
Off Leclerc, yeah. So, you know. So
who was in third at this point?
So I was thinking to myself, okay, if they pit him now, he can come out in second and fight Sainz.
Yeah.
But the longer it went on, they were losing the time, Then he got to like eight.
I mean, he did sort of keep it for a while because I think, again, Ferrari let them race.
Yeah. But it then started to go under that 19 mark. And I was thinking to myself, okay, we've missed a point here. And because in my eyes, I was like, okay, 19 seconds is the average. But if you have a crappy stop, then you're going to struggle. And it's exactly what... So they brought him in on lap 34, I think it was.
Obviously, they have a crap stop.
And they had a crap stop. That brought him out behind both Ferraris. I just felt that was... They probably could have brought him in a couple of laps earlier.
Do you know,
my opinion, I don't know.
Do you know genuinely what I think they were going for?
Softs.
Yeah, I think they were hoping that Lewis could maintain the gap, or even if he was losing, I don't know, half a tenth, a lap or whatever, towards the latter stages, and then bring him in, stick him on the softs,
He'd have been quick.
He would have come out, closed the gap, and overtaken. But I think, it became pretty clear that Leclerc's tyres were really coming into the race.
Yeah.
He was obviously quicker than Sainz.
And Hamilton wasn't gaining anything after that point. He wasn't actually picking up any, you know, he was probably matching, but he was losing probably about 2/10 slower each time. So he was gradually losing time.
When he was still on the old mediums.
Interesting fact I learned today, and let me know if you knew this, and if you didn't, then I hope you enjoy this fact. So did you know in 2024, they are taking away the tyre warming blankets?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I heard them talking about that.
So,
which I quite like, personally.
I mean, is there going to be more accidents because the tyres aren't going to be up to scratch, are they?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not being funny. Part of racing is having to, you know, tyre management.
Yeah.
So, does it not defeat the object if they're being given, like, partially warm tyres?
No, I think it's a good thing. I think it's actually going to be quite interesting to see how they do in that. But, yeah, from 2024, they are taking away the tyre warming blankets.
Yeah, so let us know what you think about that. Comment down below.
I quite like it.
If you're listening, say it out loud. I'm sure we'll hear it.
There you go. Heard it.
No one's listening.
No one's listening. So it's probably just me watching it on repeat again. Lap 39, Ocon retires, but instead of actually getting off before his car dies, he decides to just stop on the old pit straight. And then comes a safety car, and this is where the race turned interesting.
But do you know what I was really hoping for? Because when they showed him slowing, but the little mini map wasn't showing.
Yeah.
So I was like, where the fuck are the cars? Where are they? Where's Lewis?
Yeah.
And then I was like, what I was hoping is they were just like coming round the two Ferraris. You know, the you have to dive in for the pits, but you go around that corner, yeah, take the left and then the right to go down the pit straight. I was hoping they were just coming in, coming to the left. And Lewis could just dive in.
So what was quite interesting with this, when the safety car came out, so Leclerc stayed out. He was first at this point.
What? Sorry. Ferrari had a shocker this weekend. What was the point in that?
Well, let's just say they didn't have a shocker. They won the Grand Prix. But they had a shocker in their decision making.
I mean, tactically. They had a shocker. Should Leclerc be finishing, was it fifth in the end?
Fourth.
Maybe fifth. There are rumours that he may be getting a penalty. We don't know yet.
But I agree with you. Some of their decision making was questionable this weekend, and I felt like they didn't have a grasp on exactly what they wanted to do. Because early on, they're letting them race. Why? You're losing time here. They brought signs in, but they left Leclerc out. They could have, in theory, had enough time to do both.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I'm thinking. I'm not even being funny, right? If they even lost a bit of time having to do the double stack, they would have still come out. Okay, say they come out P1 and P3 and Lewis is in between.
Yep.
If those two Ferraris are on softs, I don't think Lewis is competing with them.
No.
You know, and even if they finished first and third, it's better than what they did finish.
First and fourth.
So yep. I really did not understand that decision. So unless it was purely because they physically could not do it, which again, I don't really understand how they couldn't. It looked like they had enough time to make the call. It just a tactical shocker.
So Sainz came in, Hamilton came in for softs, a lot of other teams came in for softs.
More or less everyone did.
Can we just say, when this restart happened, What a start.
Surely everyone watching was buzzing.
Perez was... Hamilton didn't have the greatest start. Perez really pounced on him. He got past him. It looked like Alonso was also going to go for Hamilton as well.
I mean, Hamilton, terrible restart.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Like you say, Perez was... He was there like a lion. And what I will say is if there's any man that seems to be able to come from the back through the pack and still pull out a quality result, it's Sergio Perez.
Outrageous.
How many times has he done it now?
I was a bit concerned because I knew that Red Bull had pace. So when I saw him come out in fourth behind Hamilton, I was a bit like...
I was gutted.
Yeah. Seeing Hamilton drop to fourth, especially as, you know, he had a good race, to be fair.
I genuinely thought Perez could... I was thinking he might win.
If he wasn't stuck behind Leclerc, I think he would have won that race.
Yeah, agreed.
Easily. But I was really happy for Perez. I thought he had it's never easy, is it? Being, you know, dropping to the back, having damage and fighting your way back. But he did it and he was phenomenal. He really was. Can we just say, Leclerc, fair play to him. He was battling today. That overtake from Hamilton, taking both of them, was phenomenal.
Quality reaction.
However, he did get smothered again by both Leclerc and Perez on the next corner.
Let's not forget, right? During that fight, Leclerc was on old hard tyres.
Yeah.
And they weren't old, but they were like... They were
older
used
than what, yeah.
Against fresh softs. And he had damage from the first lap.
Yeah, on his front wing.
Should he have got a penalty?
No. It's hard, isn't it? You know, it's...
See, I personally... I like it, getting racy. I just don't know if the corner was there for him to take. That's all.
Yeah.
For
you guys who don't, we're talking about the lap, was it?
It was lap one
or two, whichever. It was aggressive. It wasn't... It wasn't really there for him to...
It could have... I mean, luckily it didn't, but it could have ruined Perez's race.
Yeah.
And, you know, it did look like it had ruined Perez's race.
Well, in theory, it did ruin Perez's race, yeah, because he would have won that race with that pace. If Verstappen had his issues,
yeah,
he would have definitely been there, yeah, fighting. No, true. He would have won that race. So, in theory, it did ruin his race.
So, I think, you know, I love seeing them, like, really, really get aggressive. I do. But, yeah, for me, I think he was lucky not to get a penalty. Whether, yeah, I wish a penalty upon him is neither here nor there. But I think he was lucky to not get one.
No, I agree with you. But it was just phenomenal racing. That last 10 laps was just phenomenal racing. It was so intense. I think Sainz was lucky in the sense of, because the battle was going on, he could pull away. Not saying lucky, because he deserved the race in the end. But I felt like if, as I said, Perez had got through earlier past Leclerc and gone off, he would have easily hunted down Sainz.
Well, now can I just continue with a string of Ferrari shockers?
Yeah.
Keep 10 cars distance between you and Leclerc. That's what they said to Sainz. A man who's on fresh softs, who qualified pole, and who knows that this race is his for the taking.
Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous. What's he going to do? All he would have done is lose the position to maybe Hamilton, who had shown he was lapping quicker,
yep,
like consistently throughout the race. Definitely to Perez, all to protect someone that is on old hard tyres, who would then just get overtaken by the other two cars, and Ferrari would then maybe finish third and fourth.
It's basically asking Sainz just to park the bus.
Yeah, it's like, oh, please, can you just sacrifice your race to protect this other man who you have literally no loyalty to whatsoever?
Yeah, no, decisions Ferrari made today were very questionable.
And I understand the team perspective, but come on, let's look at it logically.
Yeah.
How is Carlos Sainz going to hold off those two drivers for another 10,
they're not exactly rookies, are they?
Yeah, I mean, that is just... Yeah. I don't know who sent that message, but Jesus Christ.
Just finishing off, so I'm really delighted for Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
I thought heroic performance from Sergio Perez. Hamilton, delighted he got on the podium. I'd been really disappointed if he wasn't, because I think he actually deserved a podium today. Massive shout out to Alonso. I thought he was phenomenal.
That, do you know what, right? You posted the standings. Alonso has something like 20 points.
Yeah.
How is that possible? That Alpine looks really competitive.
It does, yeah.
No, I was shocked. I just genuinely thought he had more points.
I think he's just had a lot of bad luck though throughout the season. So
I do think
Alonso, 28 points.
Is he 41 years old, man? And he still sticks it to him.
He doesn't care, does he?
He's like it. And yeah, then Mick Schumacher on the last corner.
Almost got. I was worried actually. Oh, actually, we haven't touched on this. Massive shout out to Haas this weekend. They started off, you know,
terrible Saturday.
They went out in Q1, and Mick and Magnussen both went away this weekend with points. You know, fair play, because I'm delighted for Mick Schumacher. I know we've said on the podcast, where does he sit in F1 now? Where, you know, is he actually cut out for F1? And I'm delighted for him, because there's been opportunities this year where, you know, Miami getting points, you know, Canada, he looked good, but he had to retire. And to actually come away this weekend with points, I'm really happy for him.
Because I did actually read a report, I think it was yesterday, that was saying that Haas have actually told Mick he needs to start picking up points, yeah, or his seat won't be his in 2023.
But no, I was delighted for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, fair play to Haas, because actually...
What I will say, though, is Max absolutely schooled him.
Yeah.
He, like, that... I mean, that Red Bull is obviously the greatest car on the grid. Max's Red Bull today was a piece of shit. And he defended just quality.
But also... fair play to Max. That was, you know, it could have been a lot worse. Coming away with, you know, in P7.
For a car that was lapping 0.7 slower than the front runners.
I think he did phenomenal. Yeah. How important could those points be later on in the season?
Oh, that's the thing. And at one point, Latifi was behind him. I think I texted you saying Latifi's going to overtake
Max. I actually thought he was going to overtake, and then I got a bit concerned. Would you like to know some facts about this weekend's Silverstone Grand Prix?
Go on then.
So for a second consecutive race, a driver starting his 150th Grand Prix took victory from pole position. Max Verstappen did it last time out in Canada. Nice. Sainz is the first Spanish race winner other than...
Oh, Alonso, it's got
Alonso, who accumulated 32 wins between 2003 and 2013.
I say it's got to be, like, I don't know it is.
Do you know how long it took Carlos Sainz to get his first race win?
It was 150. You just told me he's...
Oh, shit, I did just say that.
Worst quiz ever.
I do wonder. I don't think I could be a quizmaster. It is Sainz's sixth podium this season compared to teammate Charles Leclerc's. How many podiums has he got this year?
Ooh. You know what? Charles has had a real string of bad luck. I'm going to say five.
Four. Hamilton led his first laps since when?
Well, since Abu Dhabi.
Well done. Yep. So that is basically the quiz. Would you like to know the standings?
Yeah.
Okay, so not much has really changed. Max Verstappen leads the driver standings with 181 points. Sergio Perez moves up to 147, remains second. Charles Leclerc
but
is...
does that put Sergio back in contention now? Are we thinking, actually, you know, he is still in this fight?
34 points.
Yeah, and what were you saying? Where's Leclerc?
Leclerc is third with 138 points.
So he's how many behind? Perez?
Nine.
Yeah, so I mean, look, if Leclerc is still in this battle, then Sergio is still in it.
Yeah, no. Carlos Sainz moves to fourth. Russell drops to fifth. Russell's still with 111 points, but Hamilton is in sixth with 93 points.
Yeah,
do we think Hamilton will end up overtaking George Russell in the standings at some point this season?
I personally believe he will.
Yeah,
I just think he's, you know, over the last couple of weekends, he's shown that it looks like he's getting a bit more comfortable with the car. We know Mercedes are making progress with the car, and it looks like he is race pace. He is quicker.
We're starting to see old Hamilton back.
Yeah.
Some of that racing today was smooth. Some of the racing between him and Charles today was phenomenal racing, in my opinion.
You know, none of you should underestimate how impressive that fastest lap of the race is.
Yeah.
In that Mercedes, which is just, you know, it's simply not as quick as the Red Bull or as the Ferrari. Like, it's just not. So that is... That's a real... Mercedes will take that away and they'll be really happy with that.
Yeah. But, you know, I think when you're looking at the main points, what we learned from this weekend, Red Bull, ridiculously strong.
Yeah.
Their straight line speed is outrageous. Mercedes look like...
they're on the right track.
On the right track. Ferrari, even though they got the win, I mean, there's a lot of... what's the word I'm looking for? There's a lot of work that needs to go on behind the scenes with their strategy, because there's a...
Tactics today were backwards, in my opinion. It just seemed like a team with no backbone.
Yeah.
There was no one actually there saying, like, no, like, sorry, mate, like, I know it's rough. You've got to give the position up, because this is actually going to ruin both your races.
Well, you heard a couple of times, didn't you, to go, okay, I'm going to give it, you know, Sainz was like, give me one more lap. Okay, yeah, have one more lap. Yeah. Well, actually, no, you want to hear the principal and go... No, swap places now, because we could lose a second in that lap.
But did you also hear, I can't remember what the time was, but, you know, I'm just going to make up a time. They were like, signs you need to lap at like 130.8 in order to, like, for us to let you stay ahead. Charles was lapping a tenth quicker. Lewis was lapping 2/10 quicker. How does that make sense?
You'd wanted Leclerc to go off.
Yeah, like, oh, we're going to let you stay ahead, even though you're lapping 2/10 slower than... like our closest competitor in this race, and your teammate who's behind you is lapping quicker. That, you know, that to me, it just signaled everything.
So I'd love to talk more about Silverstone. However, we got another race next week. So let us know what your thoughts are about Silverstone. Comment down below. Do you agree what we said? Are Mercedes on the right track? Are they not? Are Red Bull?
What did you call the podium last week?
I said Max, Charles, Hamilton.
Okay, so you got one out of three.
One out of three.
I said Max, Lewis, Charles.
So you got zero.
Yeah, but I did get all three teams correct. So,
well done. So did I.
That doesn't count. Doesn't.
Let us know what your thoughts were on Silverstone. Comment down below. So let's quickly touch on Austria next week. The races come. I'm hopeful for a better race.
You're
than
going
last
to
year.
Have two Red Bulls. You're going to have one out in front by 25 seconds.
No, I don't.
The other
think
in
so.
Second place, leading by 18 seconds.
No, but this is the thing, Luke. It is different this year. Reliability is having a massive effect on results this year. Last year, we didn't have that. This year, we do. Nothing is a given. And these cars showed, you know, they can race. So, before we continue, you like a quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, have you looked at any of this?
Haven't looked at anything.
Okay, fine. So, starting off with the Red Bull Ring, how many DRS zones are there?
Ooh. I think I know the answer is two, but I'm going to say three.
Oh, correct. Three. Oh.
I know the answer is two.
Right, okay. When this is for a food shop. When was the first Grand Prix in Austria?
Oh, Christ. 1968.
1970.
Oh! I was toying with the 70s. I don't think I would have said 70, but I was toying with the 70s.
How many number of laps are there?
I'm picturing the track.
Actually, no. If I give you this, then this helps with my next question. Okay, this is your mortgage paid for. We go to laps in a second.
Okay.
What is the lap record? And if you get this right, I'll pay for 1 month of your mortgage.
So I'm trying to think.
Remember, it's half a second.
There's quite a few slow corners here.
Yep. This gets me so nervous every week. I don't know why I do this.
Which obviously slows it down. But then at the same time, I'm trying to picture it. Like, I'm imagining it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the biggest track. Like, it's not like Silverstone, which I think is quite long. But the slow corners. 138.7.
Oh God, my money's safe. It's 105.619.
Oh, it's a tiny track.
It's a tiny track.
But it has got slow corners, I swear.
Yeah.
Like I'm picturing like...
What, turn one?
So turn one is more or less like a 90 degree. Then Obviously I know you've got that long run up. But then turn, I don't know if you'd call it turn three. I don't know if that middle one on the straight counts as a turn. But like as you come up...
Yeah.
That's like a slow corner. Yep. Then you run all the way down. That's I guess maybe because it's got quite a lot of straights in, but then you've got the slow corner there.
Yeah. How many laps?
Well, if it's 105, probably like 78.
71.
Oh.
Do you know what? I'm getting more and more nervous now about this whole mortgage thing because I know one day you will get it right and I'll just want to cry. But anyway, another little quiz for you. You can play at home. Can you name the last... five winners. So, 2017.
Lewis.
Valtteri Bottas.
Oh, you know what? I was going to say Bottas. I was thinking it was either
so
Lewis...
So why didn't you say it?
I don't know. I was thinking it was either Lewis or Valtteri. And I just... For some reason, I was thinking, nah, it was Bottas's first season. I'm going to give it to Lewis.
2018.
Seb.
Max. 2019.
Lewis.
Max.
I actually don't think Lewis has ever won there, has he?
He has. He won back in 2016.
Is that the only time?
Well, it may not be. It may be more. But I'm not going to give it away, am I? 2020.
Lewis.
Bottas.
Frauded me. Fuck's sake, I got baited into that.
2021.
Oh, well, Max. You won it twice.
Yeah, Lewis. Well, Max has won the last three out of four here.
I mean, it's technically his home track it's Red Bull.
It's Red Bull's home track. But yeah, Lewis, last time won is 2016. Bottas, he can win here. I don't think he'll win.
I don't think he's going to in the Alfa Romeo.
No, nor do I.
I even thinking of the right track?
No, you are.
Okay, I'm going to pull up pictures just for my own peace of mind. But I definitely, like, because as you're coming down, the grandstand's on your left.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the right track.
While Luke is looking at that, let me...
Oh, it just hasn't got many corners, that's all. It's just straight.
Yeah. While Luke is looking through that, let me tell you the schedule for next week. So, practice one is on Friday, the 8th of July, and it is 12:30 to 1:30. Qualifying... Whoa, there's... Hang on. They are... Okay, it's different. This is a sprint weekend.
Woo.
Yay. So, qualifying is on the Friday, which is 4 till 5. On Saturday, practice two is 11:30 till 12:30. The sprint race on Saturday is 3:30 till 4:30. And the race on Sunday is 2 till 4.
I can't wait to watch Red Bull dominate all weekend.
I don't think it is going to be as... Red Bull have reliability issues. Ferrari have reliability issues.
Or did Max just run over something?
Okay, I'm not just talking about Silverstone in general, but I'm talking about in general, Ferrari, Red Bull have had real reliability issues.
Yeah, granted. There has been some issues.
So I don't think, and you know, quote me on this, I don't think it's going to be as plain sailing as you think.
Whereas I disagree.
We can't disagree on this podcast. We always have to be in sync.
For the first time ever, we are disagreeing. Why do you think that?
Because I just think that you think Max, the Red Bull, you know, was just more of a fluke today and is damage, and he's just going to go and win it.
Well, it was just damage.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's what I mean. But it could happen next week.
No, it could. But like, you know, I'm going to go on the basis that, you know, like he might break his leg on Wednesday, but I'm going to go on the basis that he's not going to.
No, but... Well, yeah,
I'm going to assume that his car is not going to be damaged and that he's going to go and win the race by a stupid amount of time. Didn't he win when he won last time? Wasn't it by like the biggest margin? Like,
the thing I hated about last year, right, is it was so intense between the battle between Hamilton and Max that you had won the first race in Austria. And then because of all COVID and everything in the calendar...
We had it the next week.
You had it the next week. And I mean, I'm not being funny. Nothing was going to change. And nothing did change from week to week. We know Red Bulls are quick here, for sure. We know that. Yes, okay. I think Max will go and win it. I do. However, I think there's more opportunity for reliability issues than maybe what we've had over the last few years. Which is, for me, doesn't... I'm not dreading it as much as maybe if I was last year, if that makes sense, for like the second race.
Look, I'm not sitting here hoping that it's not going to be a Red Bull domination
masterclass.
Fest. Yeah, it won't be a masterclass. That's I swear down, right? They've got some, because this is their track. Like, Red Bull actually own this track.
Yeah.
Swear they got like something under the track that just pulls that car along and makes it like twice as quick as normal.
What, you think some moles pop out and just damage other cars?
Slows the other cars down, just lets the Red Bulls through. That was, honestly, it was insane last year.
It was.
Like, it was ludicrous.
Yeah. Okay, who's your top three? Okay. So, Austrian Grand Prix, who's your top three?
Okay. Max, by a very, 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 very long way.
Yep.
Perez, by a very, very, very long way. And then probably Charles. I think Mercedes could suffer this weekend. You know, we know they're not super quick on the straights.
Yeah.
They haven't looked particularly good through slow corners all year.
Yeah.
Really. So unless there's some upgrades... Yeah, I think maybe we'll just see them in the typical fifth and sixth position. Can't really see them competing this weekend. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope you're all laughing at me next week.
I'm going to say different. I think, yes, I'm going to go Max Perez. Third, I'm going to say Hamilton, simply because...
Who's deluded now?
Hello.
Not me.
Lewis battled those Ferraris today on straight lines. They were matching pace wise. They were matching. Okay, So I don't think the difference between Ferrari and Mercedes is that big. The margins isn't that big anymore. So I think there can be battles there. However, I don't think Red Bull to Mercedes, there is such a big difference.
Yeah. They looked really good. But they had said prior to Silverstone that, you know, this track is going to really benefit us.
Yeah.
Well, so, and it did. We saw that. Mm. I just like, because there's not really any similarities in the two tracks.
No.
Other than they're quick, but they're quick in different ways.
Yeah.
I just can't see that W13 bringing performance to this weekend.
Let us know.
And I really hope I'm wrong. I can see something like an Alpine actually performing quite nicely at this track. Yeah. We know that car is quick. So I think you could see something like that pulling through.
Let us know.
Even the McLarens were looking quick.
Yeah,
not Danny Rick.
Not Danny Rick.
Lando was. Poor Danny.
But don't worry, Zak Brown and Danny Rick are going out for dinner later because they get on really well and their relationship is really good.
And his job is definitely safe. Definitely.
guys, let us know. Who do you think, what's your top three? Let us know.
Before we touch on fan questions,
because
I read your mind and I knew that's what you were going to say. Normally, we do a little news section where you sort of bring all the latest news. Didn't bother this week. Don't know why.
Well, I'm not being funny. There's so much to talk about.
Took a week off. But there is something that we do have to talk about.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to pull it up. Now, give me a minute. But there has been many rumours circulating today that teams are speculating, and it was only after the FIA, there was a conversation with the FIA and all the teams, and they were talking about flexing the floor.
Yep.
Now, apparently, none of the teams actually even considered this to be a thing. Like, I think they all thought the floor could only, like, move a certain amount or it had to be rigid. And just give me a second while I pull this up, because I want to find it, because I don't want to mislead any of you. Because it's actually quite interesting. There's basically cheating accusations, or at least there are chances that maybe we have some illegal cars on the grid.
Ooh.
And I think you can imagine who they may be.
Red Bull.
And
Ferrari.
Yeah. Now, there's no guarantee that this is a thing, but give me a second.
Where did you find this information?
So, actually not on this website that I recently discovered called Reddit, which is basically a little forum site. Don't know if you've heard of it. But it's this girl that I've like spoken about like loads on Twitter, at FIA Girly. She's not like a source herself. Like, she doesn't just like, she's not a journal or anything. But like,
you're going to get her on the podcast. You talk about her every week.
Yeah, maybe I will. But she knows too much. She'd scare me. Not because she's a girl. It'd be the same with a boy. I know what you're thinking. Sexist. No, it's not. But I really want to try and like, it's because she's tweeted like so much in the race. So like, I'm going through all the tweets.
Okay. While Luke is looking for that, let me give you some other news actually this week. Alpine, within the next 8 years, they want to have a female F1 driver in the sport. I have to say, fair play. I'm actually really excited for this. Obviously, they've got their program which they're working on to try and get more females into motorsport, and their project is in the next 8 years to have an F1 female driver, which I'm all for. I think it'd be good.
Yeah, quality. I do find it weird putting like a time scale on it, like,
yeah,
like, to, because to me it would be, unless they're looking to like really develop someone, but to me it would just be like, well, you know, if a really good female driver comes through,
put them in.
Yeah, get them in. And, you know, if no one comes through in the next 8 years, now they're going to be like, oh, mission failed.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, no, just, you know, make sure we're investing in equal opportunity.
Yeah.
Allowing everyone from a young age to have the same opportunities. And then I'm sure, you know, coming through the ranks, you're going to see loads of female drivers. And
there's some talented ones out there. And I'm excited for this. I really am.
And hopefully they kick all the fucking like idiots that come in because they've got loads of money.
Yeah.
Because they don't deserve seats, many of them.
No, but Alpine, fair play, well done.
Yeah, you found what, it. What is good, right, is teams actually being vocal and saying, like, talking about the issue, understanding that it is strange that actually we don't have any females. You know, like how Lewis talks about, he's the only black person on the grid. And, like, I'm pretty sure, has there ever been a person of colour on the grid before? I know there's been had some Indian drivers, but like we've not had a black driver before, to my knowledge, other than Lewis. So it does, like, it just gets you thinking of this whole, like, equal opportunity business, because and, you know, and having teams talk about it, I think, is really valuable for young fans and all fans to sort of get themselves thinking about it, because naturally it's not something I think we'd look at as white British males and think, oh, there's an issue there, until it's brought to our attention. And then you think, yeah, actually. And that's how you get people starting conversations. Yeah. And then that's how you ignite change. And
I really like the fact that teams are more vocal, really a lot more vocal than I think they've ever been before. And you look at the support that Lewis Hamilton received from all teams this week, except Red Bull.
Although Christian Horner did come out and say in a...
And I have to give him credit for this, because... So for you guys who don't know, so a couple of weeks ago, Yuri Phipps made a racist comment in one of his streams.
Yeah, well, I mean, he used the N-word.
See, I don't know what was. Yeah, actually, like, I haven't seen any.
Oh, I've seen the video. He just straight up drops the N-bomb.
Really?
Yeah, like, and streaming live to however many people.
And this is someone who is actually was meant to be the future of the sport.
Well, he did a test for them the other week. He did FP1, was it, for them?
Yeah, and you know, he's got fans, and you know, you don't want those people in the sport. And I have to say, real credit to Red Bull for removing him from the team. They've made a real big action and stance against it, and they said, "We, you know, there's no room for racism," and there isn't any room for racism. And what was interesting, Nelson Piquet came out, and I mean, it was an interview from last year, but it doesn't matter when it was from. That
another bellend.
He said, you know, basically was racist against Lewis Hamilton.
I'm pretty sure he used the N-word as well.
And he
made homophobic remarks.
And I was really impressed with how teams came out and were really supportive. And I don't think you would have necessarily seen this as many years ago, but there's people, more teams are talking about it now. They're more supportive. They're all getting on, you know, onto actually and go, we're not accepting this.
And that's the thing, because what they probably didn't realise is actually how influential they are.
Yeah.
And them coming out and saying stuff like that, well, now all their fans are like, you know, the ones that maybe necessarily, I'm not saying a racist, but like didn't even really think about it because they're not exposed to the issue. And now all of a sudden they're, you know, they're being told, no, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Like, we condemn this. We don't, this sort of behavior is not allowed here. And then it gets those people that don't really think about those issues thinking about them.
And I, you know, I'm a big believer that actions speak louder than words. And 100%. The fact that Red Bull said, you know what, I'm not having this. See you later.
No, that's a big stance.
It's a big stance. And I have to say, fair play.
What you have to also remember is morality in business is, you know, hard to come by.
Yeah.
Red Bull, from a business perspective, have probably invested millions into this kid. And, you know, they chose morally to just cut him.
Yeah.
They forgot about the business side. And, you know, that does show that, albeit if the progress is small, there is some progress.
But it shows that it's not acceptable within the sport.
Yeah.
And from what I know, Nelson Piquet has been banned from...
The paddock.
The paddock, which, again, another great stance.
Right, like, he's not welcome. No. Why would anyone want him in the paddock?
So I think, you know, Formula One have come a long way, and it's really impressive to see. And I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I've been really impressed with how teams have come together. And, you know, even drivers as well, hearing people like Lando Norris saying, you know, this isn't, you know, all these drivers have big followings. And if you get these drivers standing up against it, hopefully that will start to change people's perception and people's opinion on this. And I think it's really important that, you know, all teams, all drivers are vocal about this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, we're in this sort of influencer world, aren't we? Social media, where, you know, they might not even realise how much of an influence they actually do have on people. And there are very, very young kids that are watching, and if, you know, there's, if they're following someone that is a terrible, terrible influence, that does make an impression on them. So, no, it's good. It's just great to see that it's no longer just being swept under the rug.
Yeah, and for now, people, actions are being taken. So, fair play, you know, F1 teams, F1, you know, I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant.
Now we're ready for the beef.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the current regulations stipulate a maximum deflection of 2 millimetres at the two middle plank holes and no more than 2 millimetres at its rearmost hole. Basically, that's to ensure, this is to do with the floor flex. Yeah. So that's to ensure that it doesn't, like, the floor is stiff enough, basically. However, some teams allegedly flexed the floors by as much as 6 millimetres in total, which is 4 millimetres more. This allows them to run with higher rake and much closer to the ground for increased performance without the risk of suffering all the ill effects of ground strikes. So, what did Toto Wolff have to say about this? Nobody had an idea until the FAI. What do I even say?
The FAI. The Formula.
I have no idea. It came out and I was like, I don't even know what I just said. Nobody had an idea until the FIA brought it up in the last technical advisory committee, whatever the fuck that is, which was to a great surprise of all the teams. What's in regulation and what the intent of the regulation is pretty clear. I mean, there is no argument why that could deflect more than what's in the regs. So basically, what he's saying there is that, well, the regulations stipulate 2 millimetres. If it's flexing more than 2 millimetres, you're cheating.
Yeah.
Now, the 2 millimeter tolerance of the floors will be rigorously enforced now, apparently, and the stiffness around the floor hole must now be uniform for the... I don't know what this means. But basically, it sounds like they're going to be enforcing this 2 millimeter rule. Some cars, it's not been confirmed who, have been running it at up to 6 millimetres.
From what it sounds like is that they're not going to take any action on previous races. They're just telling them now that this is what it needs to be like.
Yeah. So what Toto actually said was, it won't affect us in how we run our car, basically, because they run it at 2 millimetres. It may well be that it affects our competitors. And by virtue of that, we move a little bit closer. So what I assume this didn't come into play this weekend...
potentially could see in Austria.
And what I did see somewhere, I'm not sure where I saw it, was basically they said the two teams that did actually kick up a fuss
were Red Bull and Ferrari.
So I don't know, make of it what you will, guys. It's not speculation, like this is a thing that actually happened. I think it's speculation currently that it is Red Bull and Ferrari that have been... This is not bending the rules. This is breaking the rules. Teams do it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure no team has clean hands.
No.
But, you know, when a team gets caught, it comes to our attention. We bring it to you guys.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. What do you think of that? How do you feel if it has been found out that they've been cheating for the season? And I don't know how much of an advantage this gives in terms of time. Would you want to see some sort of points being docked? Some sort of punishment?
So with my Mercedes tinted glasses, I would say
ban them.
Get them out of the sport. No, I wouldn't say that. But I think, yes, I would like to see it. However, from a neutral point of view, I think what has been done is done.
Yeah.
And I'd quite like to see if it goes back to being equal across all the board, that we now start to see what it's going to be like. Because it'd be quite interesting to see what it was like maybe, you know, last few races, speed time and all of that time, to what it would be once everyone actually has to follow these rules.
Yeah. So like I say, I'm not sure when the sort of rigorous enforcement is going to be coming in. It may have come in this weekend. But that would seem a little bit quick to me. But yeah, we may see a difference.
Exciting. Should we get on to fan questions?
Yes.
Because I'm editing this video this week, and let's just say it's already gone way over the time I was hoping for.
But it's been good.
Dan, who gave him holiday?
Okay, so what we do every single week is we post on the Racecast Instagram story saying, give us your questions. You leave them there, we answer them. What I actually also did this week was do it on my Instagram as well, because this was a very good Grand Prix, and I thought, why not get like a wider audience in as well?
Yeah.
So if you have come from, you know, my Instagram and you don't normally watch the podcast, thanks for sticking around, and make sure you stay. Don't just watch this one and then never watch it again. It's not what we do around here. Come back every single week. All right. Okay, I'm going to ask you this week.
Cool.
This is quite a good one, actually, because I feel like my opinion has changed almost week to week.
Yeah.
Who's topping the midfield this season? Constructor and driver. Now, I think it's best for this conversation to not include Mercedes.
Okay. For me, Alpine.
Yeah.
I think Alpine, Alonso have looked good. Ocon have looked good. So for the midfield battle, I'd say Alpine. I think I would like to say McLaren. However, I just feel at the moment it is only Lando who's contributing to that.
That is the issue.
But for me, it is, yeah, Alpine.
Because, and driver?
I would say Alonso or Ocon.
See, here's my thoughts, right? I actually think Alpine. I agree. Because I think as a team, they're strong.
Can I tell you, can I guess who you're going to say? But from a driver point of view, you would say Lando.
Lando?
Yeah. Okay, I think, I'd agree with you on that.
I think Lando will finish. Lando has surprised me this season. I think I actually underrated him.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I did. And maybe that's because sometimes I don't enjoy his attitude.
Yep.
So I think maybe that made me like you know when you take this stance of like no they're not very good, they wind me up.
Yeah.
That and it, but like and don't get me wrong, I actually do really like Lando. It's just sometimes like I do find his attitude a bit, don't know, it just
stinking.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think he's actually, you know, the gulf between him and Danny Rick, and Lando's pulling out results.
They're not even close. Yeah, they're not even close.
And he had a quality weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Lando, but Alpine.
Yeah, no, agree with you on that one.
Okay. I don't know why we'd have an opinion on this, right? Opinion on Jos Verstappen.
I'm not a fan of him personally. However, I respect him for what he's done for Max. I think, you know, he wasn't the greatest driver. However, he gave up that to really put all his time into making sure Max gets the best. And I have a lot of respect for that as a dad. Well, I'm not a dad, but as a father, you know, from a father point of view.
You're a horsey dad.
I'm a horsey dad. but from a dad point of view, I have full respect for that because that's tough. That took a real strain on his relationship as well with his wife. And, you know, to actually come through that. And part of me, and I have to take away the Lewis Hamilton side. I enjoyed seeing him celebrate with his dad last year.
Oh, Max. Yeah. I mean, you can see what it meant to them.
To see what it meant to him, I have huge respect for him for that. And I think anyone who gives up all their time for another person who is a... Don't get me wrong, I'm sure it's benefited him and, you know, Max has brought him like a house or whatever, but...
Probably 10.
10 houses. But to see that passion and desire to help your son out, I have huge respect for.
Unless, to be honest, let's be real here. Didn't they live in Monaco anyway?
Well, yeah.
Probably, I don't think they were short of change.
He's dedicated a lot of his time for race weekends, driving. He even left his son at a petrol station after a race. They fell out. Did you hear that?
No.
So Max and Jos fell out after a go-karting weekend or something. And Jos was so pissed off with Max, he left him at a petrol station, phoned his wife and said, you've got to come and pick him up.
Didn't want to talk to him.
Yeah, it was literally what it was. But there's a lot, it's interesting to hear Max and how he talks about his dad. It was a very frosty relationship, but he's always respected that, the time and the passion and the
it was Frosty, I imagine, because he wanted the best.
He wanted the best for him, exactly.
But it's difficult, like, pushing a kid to the limit. And I know it works out now, but it doesn't always work out. And sometimes you have a kid that is considered a failure by the parent.
Yeah.
Who then probably feels like a failure, and they also hate their parents.
Yeah.
But what all I'll say is, what I do dislike in any sport is a noisy parent.
Yeah.
I don't like, and I get why he talks to the press. I mean, I know he's a former F1 driver. Well, not, personally, I just don't like that.
No.
And if I was an F1 driver and my dad was chatting to the press, I'd be like, mate, you got to stop. Like, that's not what we do around here. Yeah.
I like that question. That's a good question.
Yeah. Okay.
What's your thoughts on him? Let us know. Comment down below.
Who's the ideal partner for Max after Perez's contract expires?
Ooh. That's a tough one, really. I mean, in theory, you would say someone like Gasly, but Gasly, I think, would push.
Well, I think,
or Gasly, try to push Max.
Yeah, I think Gasly wants too much for himself, understandably.
But then, actually, do you know what? I'm going to go out here. I would actually say someone like Lando Norris.
Oh, could you see Lando in a Red Bull suit?
I mean, I wouldn't like to see it. However, I think Max would embrace it, have that battle. I think Lando could do well in a Red Bull, in all honesty.
That would be conflicting for us British fans.
Oh, it would be. But I don't know who else you would see in that seat. Because who else on the grid would literally go there and go, oh yeah, I'll finish second fiddle, unless you take Latifi there.
Or do they... Yeah, but he wouldn't do that by choice, would he? or do they just think, well, you know, let's bring in a competitive driver.
Yeah.
Let's get someone that will challenge Max. To me, there's only one man that can challenge Max at the moment. That may be different after Perez's contract expiration. But
who is it?
Well, Lewis. But yeah, I don't know who. Because that's the thing, it's such a tough decision between, well, do we get a placid driver that is happily going to be number two and will grind out results still? Or do we get someone actually that is very aspirational?
I would hope they would get someone who's aspirational. I would hope. If you've got such a competitive car like that, you would want the top drivers in that car.
Yeah, but then look at Ferrari when they had Schumacher and Barrichello.
Yep.
Barrichello still, I mean, I know I was young, but to my knowledge, he was still pretty consistent in those number two spots.
Yeah, he was. Like, but okay, look at Mercedes, Hamilton, Bottas.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, and that's the thing. So, like, is it actually just better going down that route?
Yeah.
Getting a driver that you know is capable of driving a quick car and getting those good finishes, but you know that he's not going to compete with your golden boy.
Yeah, true. Let us know. Who would be the perfect replacement for Perez? These are good questions.
You know that I posted on my story?
Hmm.
It actually never posted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I actually didn't post on my story this week.
Oh, good.
Because, I mean, I'm not going to do it now.
We've got time for one more question?
We do have one more question. Okay. Now, this could get controversial.
Okay.
Did Carlos Sainz deserve that win? Oof. He's my favourite driver. I didn't fully get why they didn't pit Charles.
I think there's two ways to look at this. Yes, Carlos deserved it because I think, you know, all weekend he's looked solid. He just did his own race. He went out there, he fought, from that point of view, he deserved it. But on the other hand, you could look at it and go, actually, was it given to him because they kind of screwed Leclerc over by not bringing them in? Either way of looking at it, I'm delighted for Sainz. And I think after everything he's been through and the work he's put in and the misfortunes he's had, I think he's fully deserved it.
Well, the thing is you say given to him. I actually think they were trying to get Leclerc ahead. It sounded like Ferrari wanted Leclerc in front, right? That's what it sounded like to me. But it sounded like they also didn't want to upset anybody.
No.
And this is what I say on, like, they've had a shocker because they've actually, there's been no authority in the team. There's no backbone calling the shots and being like, you know, well, this is it. This is what it is. You're just not quick enough. And Sainz would have every right to be like, well, I'm not moving. If he wants to overtake me, overtake me.
Yeah.
But that lack of authority, I think, punished them a little bit today. But as it goes for Sainz, no, he wasn't the quickest man on the track. But sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
But he was there.
Yeah. And you need luck to win races sometimes.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He made one mistake in the race, and that was when he ran off and lost the position to Max.
If anything, I think that helped him because he was just under so much pressure from Max.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then Max had the problem and he just took it back. And so I think from that stance, I think he did deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always the quickest driver on the track that deserves to win.
It's one who's there at the end.
Yeah.
And he was. Yeah, fair play to Sainz. I'm delighted for him. Right, so Silverstone, cracking weekend. Austria, next weekend. Oh, I think it's going to be all right, Luke. I think it's going to be all right. I've got my steering wheel. I've got the new F1 game. And I'm practicing to beat Luke.
I need to still buy it. But what is good, what is very good, is they are bringing crossplay. It's not going to be for a few months. But when it does come, we're going to be there.
But we can still do some content anyway. We can still do some, like, you know, just do a race, see how we both get on.
Time trials.
Yeah, let's do that. So guys, hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, hit the like button, subscribe if you're new. If you're listening on Spotify, please leave us a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it.
And Apple Podcasts.
Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. And thank you again for all your support. And we shall see you next week, where hopefully Lewis Hamilton has won the Australian Grand Prix.
Unless you're a Max fan, and then hopefully Max has won.
And hope, you know, unless you're a Ocon fan, and hopefully Ocon's won.
Good luck with that.
Bye-bye.